What you missed on Weekend Mornings with Jason Dacey.
International news review time as we look back on the past week. And for that, I am joined by Cheryl Liu Cheng, the certified high performance coach, best-selling author and keynote speaker. Welcome to Weekend Mornings.
Thanks, Jason, for the opportunity to be here with you.
Yeah, you've been a busy lady. I know you've been traveling to Shanghai and other places during the week. But let's start with a commonplace that we seem to start with a lot. President Donald Trump and some of the things that he's been doing. Of course, he called his Amoroso Mangano-Newman, the former White House aide and reality TV colleague, a lowlife and a dog in response to her calling him a racist, a strategy that seems to be backfiring. And it was a very public falling out that they had. Amoroso was working as an advisor in the White House. And then we saw Trump change the narrative by, you know, taking away the security clearance of a former CIA director. What did you make about his strategy this week, Cheryl?
Well, I think if you have been following his decision-making process since he came to presidency, there's always been a flip-flop, you know, with the way that he makes decisions. So who knows what's going to happen next?
Yeah, he's a bit like that. He can really come up in shock. But the way he manipulates the media, I think, is quite impressive, because people aren't talking about Amoroso anymore. They're talking about former CIA director John Brennan's security clearance. And he was one of the vocal critics, wasn't he, of Donald Trump after the Russia summit, talking about him being treasonous. And now the commentary has moved away from Amoroso.
Yeah, I think, you know, as with most news, whichever that creates a lot more conversation, a lot more buzz, will obviously overtake and cover and bury whatever that has arise.
Yes, yeah, he really is a master at that, because he will create different headlines and things will change and move on and we'll forget about different things. Of course, Robert Mueller's investigation goes on. He's calling it a witch hunt, a rigged witch hunt by Democrats. Of course, Bob Mueller is a registered Republican, but the words on Twitter are always very harsh, and it's sometimes hard to distinguish between what's a presidential order and what's an opinion of Donald Trump, the individual.
Yeah, I think that's challenging, because for us, perhaps that's the strategy, right, to intertwine between the personal and the professional him.
Yeah, we've seen Sarah Huckabee Sanders often coming out and saying, oh, he's just frustrated. He's not giving orders about shutting down the Russia investigation. So it's hard to know. It's hard to know how things will play out with that. Of course, we are waiting for the Paul Manafort trial verdict. And the jury is deliberating on that. You got any feelings about how that might go, Cheryl? It's very important, isn't it, to Robert Mueller's investigation against things around the Trump campaign?
Yeah, well, it will either uncover all that has been said to be a myth and, you know, to be a lies or to be a, you know, a conspiracy, or it may just turn out to be the truth and a lot more digging that needs to be done.
Yeah, it could be like a domino effect if this one goes through, but it
seems to be
quite close, because the jury is asking for more evidence. They wanted a bigger room. And, you know, even Donald Trump's been speaking about it, you know, kind of impromptu press conferences on Twitter, saying that it's very unfair against Paul Manafort, who worked for his campaign for a very, very short time. It's funny how it comes very shorter and shorter as the trial goes on.
Yes, that's very true.
All right, let's move from the US to my country, Australia. It was really a big story during the week. Queensland Senator Fraser Anning stunning lawmakers when he invoked, during his maiden speech, the infamous Nazi phrase used under Adolf Hitler in reference to annihilating Jewish people from Europe. He also sparked widespread opposition by calling for a ban on Muslim migrants and defending the race-based white Australia immigration policy, which was in place for seven decades from 1901. We as a nation are entitled to insist that those who are allowed to come here predominantly reflect the historic European Christian composition of Australian society. And this really created a lot of waves, and deservedly so. He used to work for used to be part of One Nation. Now he's working for a different party within Australia. But what was your reaction, Cheryl, to this? Because we know how multicultural Australia is these days. You've just come back from a trip to Sydney.
Yes, and I do believe that having the different cultures within the society would add to both the flavor and also the economic gains. to the nation. And that's important that we become more inclusive. Although, yes, as a policymaker, you need to exercise caution, but I think it's only to the benefit.
Mm. I mean, Fraser Hanning called for migration numbers to be slashed, a ban on all Muslims, and justifying his call by saying they had consistently shown to be the least able to assimilate and integrate. Look, even the Prime Minister slammed this, many other lawmakers. I mean, Malcolm Turnbull emphasised Australia was one of the most successful multicultural societies in the world. He said, "We reject and we condemn racism in any form," and the remarks by Senator Anning are just condemned and rejected by us all. Many Singaporeans, of course, studied in Australia, you know, have relatives in Australia. Mm. It's a concern, isn't it, when we see Australia becoming, at least within some sectors, a lot more right-wing and a lot more nationalistic.
Yes, and I think that's just, perhaps it's a reaction to whatever that has been happening from the economic and social perspectives. Mm. And I think there's a greater awareness of impact and potential impact with the different cultural mix. But I think in as much as we are stating the negatives here, but I do see that there's a lot of positive that can come out of it, given that, you know, Australia has had a great foundation in assimilating different cultures and bringing forth the synergies with this assimilation. I think we should just begin to continue to ride on these efforts.
I agree. Look, you know, Australia's a lot different place to where I grew up, you know, in the 1960s and 70s. It's changed a lot, but I think it's changed for the better. You know, we've seen multiculturalism embraced. We've seen the benefits that immigration has brought. But many Australians, probably like 69-year-old Fraser Anning, the senator from Queensland, he's kind of thinking about the old Australia and what it used to be like. But that Australia's gone. I mean, this is a global market these days, Cheryl, surely.
Yes, and I think he's not alone. If you look across the globe, individuals of a certain generation has gone through a certain stage or a certain, you know, era would have different sentiments. And I'm sure the younger or, you know, people are open to having a more global community because that's where the opportunities actually lie.
Yeah, and, you know, you were staying in Sydney a couple of weeks ago and you noticed just how multicultural Sydney is, central Sydney. You're seeing a lot of Asians, a lot of Muslims, Europeans, all kinds of people are attracted to Sydney, which is a major international hub these days.
Yes, it certainly is. It's, you know, it's as comfortable as good, you know, just heading out to London, you see the same, you see the mix in, and you head out to New York, you get the vibrancy. And that's the same buzz that I do hope Sydney will continue to maintain.
Yeah, sure. Okay, we have another story that we've been following, the trial of two women charged with the murder of the estranged half-brother of North Korean leader Kim Jong-un will continue. A Malaysian judge ruled on Thursday, adding that the evidence was insufficient to prove it was a political assassination. We've got the Indonesian Siti Asia and Don Thi Huang, a Vietnamese. They thought they were part of a prank for a reality show when they sprayed a nerve agent banned by the United Nations on the face of Kim Jong-nam. So this is going to continue. This is a story that's intrigued a lot of people. Cheryl, what's your take on it?
Well, there obviously will be stories around, you know, this whole incident. I suppose whatever has happened, whether the ladies knew what they were getting into or they are part of a bigger plan, only time will tell. And I do hope, however, that the work done will help us get the real story.
Yeah, that's the thing. Will we ever get the real story? Because there are so many political angles to this and it's very emotional. It's very charged. What are the facts of the story? And why can't we get the facts? This is dragged on for 18 months now.
You know, if we could just get straight to the fact of the story, then we would actually do know if Elvis is still alive.
Exactly. Yeah, those mysterious rumours that he's still alive. But yeah, I have no idea why this is dragged on the way it has. And we even saw it affecting many other parts of Malaysian society. The Malaysian football team, you know, playing against North Korea, that was always a very charged issue about going to Pyongyang. They said it wasn't safe to travel to Pyongyang. So let's see this coming to a close as soon as possible, huh?
Oh, yeah. Then we will, again, move on to some other more interesting, more intriguing ones.
Yeah, you know, it's a bit like MH370. We just can't get this story answered. We don't know what the facts are. We just have to wait and wait and wait.
Yeah, and I'm surprised after such a long time, we actually do have some discovery.
Yeah, exactly. All right, that's been the International News Week in Review with Cheryl Yu Cheng, the Certified High Performance Coach. We'll have more from Cheryl a bit later on here on Weekend Mornings.